still rehearsing and two members of the cast already dead. At this rate, our Cinderella would have a higher body count than Titus Andronicus.
We must stop meeting like this, Mr. Paris.
Yeah, call me Charles.
How about a cup of tea down the station? Charles.
To find one dead body may be regarded as misfortune. Two starts to look iffy, especially if you're an actor sitting opposite a homicide detective giving you evils.
Here we are again.
Note to self, stop finding murder victims.
Comedy's all in the timing. And the look on DCI Naylor's face said I'd just lost my sense of rhythm.
Skipping over the fact that you may have compromised a crime scene, what makes you say murder?
Well, after Ken's body on the beach...
You know she still had a gun in her hand.
I put two and two together.
And came up with 11.
Maths was never my thing.
Unlike jumping to conclusions and your uncanny gift for discovering bodies. At least now we've got some idea what happened to Mr. Polizzi, thanks to Josie.
Thanks to Josie?
She wrote a note on her phone.
A suicide note?
More, confession. Here, there's a transcript.
I thought killing Ken would kill the pain I've suffered all these years, but it didn't, so now there's only one way to end it all.
Clearly, some sort of failed relationship.
There was something soap opera scripty about Josie's final words that didn't quite ring true.
We've screenshot those threatening texts from your phone, so you can have it back. We're still tracing the sender.
The texts were emojis, red frowny face, thumbs down, and a gun, followed by a knife, skull and coffin. I felt nostalgic for a poison pen letter cut out of newsprint.
Any idea who sent them?
I didn't recognise the number.
There was more than one. So they were either sent from different phones or the person sending them kept changing SIMs.
I didn't notice that.
Don't worry. I can't dance.
Well, nor can I. Look, I know I'm just an actor, but both texts came after I'd taken over Ken's role as Baron Hardup.
You think another actor wanted the part?
No one's that desperate to play Baron Hardup. I mean, it's a decent enough part, but there's not much to get your teeth into.
Can we stick to the point?
I don't want to get an innocent person into trouble, but there's a fan of Ken's, well, more a stalker. Wherever he went, she went. She's the one leaving shrines all over Margate.
Is there a name?
I just know her as Gloria.
If she sent the text, why suddenly send you directions to Josie's body?
Well, here's the thing. Another actor left the show, and I got recast again. I'm not complaining. Ugly sisters get more gags and some terrific costume changes. You should see the ball
the
gown.
The thing, Charles. Oh. What's the thing?
The thing, sorry. Well, it was after they asked me to switch again that I got the text with directions to the lockup.
A reward for not playing Baron Hardup?
A corpse in a car? Some reward. I suppose it's possible Gloria could have killed Ken and Josie and made it look like suicide.
You're jumping to conclusions again.
Unless Josie killed Ken, then shot herself out of remorse or guilt or maybe...
Okay, Charles, I'm sure you'd like to get home.
Yeah, sure.
Who's playing the Baron now?
My understudy.
Better warn them to look out for threatening texts.
After a day from hell, I squeezed into an overheated carriage full of stressed commuters, boiling with barely suppressed pre-Christmas rage.
Hi, Morris.
You really are a lodestone for trouble. Panto with Paris is like the last act of Hamlet.
I'm not in the mood, Morris.
Just touching base with the Grim Reaper.
It's been a testing day.
For us both. No sooner do I renegotiate your fee from broker's man to Baron Hardup than you're in heels and lippy.
Damehood was thrust upon me.
Yes, well, I doubt Judy will lose any sleep.
Don't suppose I get a raise for cross-dressing.
No, Charles. You maxed out your negotiation leverage on this show, but you are a tonic. Such good value, never a dull moment. And now Paris discovers his inner woman.
I'm fully in touch with my feminine side.
Does that mean you'll be treating us to your PF on Christmas Day?
There's no show on Christmas Day.
The party.
Party?
To be honest, I find Christmas a melancholic time. The mordant office outing, the all-pervasive whiff of cinnamon, the woe-begone gaze of bus drivers in flashing Santa hats.
When were you last on a bus?
You don't have to use public transport to sense the festive despair. It's ubiquitous, like Slade or Wizard or Die Hard.
Whoa, just rewind to the party bit.
I bumped into the lovely Frances in Old Compton Street. We adjourned to Bar Italia to swap faded festive memories.
And she fell for your sob story?
I haven't sobbed since the death of Bambi's mother.
She dies?
Oops, spoilers. Frances was so persuasive, I could hardly refuse. What that wonderful woman sees in you...
Yeah, gotta go, Morris. I can feel myself coming down with seasonal affective disorder.
Only three things could make me feel better. a hot bath, a large scotch and low-fibre, high-cholesterol food.
Thank you, Lord, for this unholy trinity, the beer-battered ocean dweller, the deep-fried fruit of the soil and the distilled grain of thy fields.
Fish and chips in the bath and no even for you.
I could have had a stroke.
I stopped the habits of a lifetime and don't think I can't see the scotch behind the loofah.
If you'd had my day.
Two words, Christmas shopping.
Bloody Christmas.
When our son-in-law announced he was relocating the family to the Caribbean for the season, Lady Frances Ottoline Morell hit the address book and the guest list was heading for triple figures.
It's not as if you do anything towards Christmas.
What's that mean?
You've always been non-competent.
I pour drinks.
And drink them. Have you ever cooked Christmas dinner, hung a bauble, or bought a tree for that matter?
OK, I'll buy the tree.
You're on. But I want something sustainable.
Well, just let me know and I'll order it.
And leave the guest list to me.
Absolutely. I won't even mention Morris.
Oh.
Yeah, when were you going to tell me? When he burst out of a pudding?
He got me at a weak moment.
I bet he did. Anyway, Morris is the least of my problems. Remember that girl who went missing, Josie?
The dancer?
I found her.
Where?
In her car, in a lock-up, shot in the head.
Oh, Charles.
Well, don't say it like it was my fault.
It was meant to be a how awful, not a how did you do it. You didn't do it.
No. The police think it's suicide, but you know what they're like.
What, that bunch of highly trained professionals bogged down with facts, evidence, experience, resources? What they really need is an actor.
I may be an actor, but I know something they don't.
Of course you do. Just give me a chip, Hercule.
Yeah.
Whoa! Don't panic, but there's something aberrant bobbing in the water.
Bobbing? Oh, my Wally.
What?
Were your family too posh to eat Wallys with their fish and chips?
We didn't eat fish and chips.
Think of it as a large cornichon.
A gherkin, thank God for that.
Must have slipped its mooring in the soap dish.
A gherkin in the soap dish could be the title of your memoir. So, what's this thing you know that the police don't?
Well, I haven't actually got any actual evidence.
Here we go.
Remember I told you Josie said she'd met Ken in LA and I wondered if she'd tried to extort money from him?
But I said she'd need to have something juicy on him.
Well, according to her friend Kitty, Josie dropped out of stage school 10 years ago to take her chances in Hollywood.
Okay.
At the time of her death, Josie was 26, making her 16 when she went out there.
It's like Marcus de Soto is actually in the room.
I've done a bit of research and she could travel at 16, but she couldn't work. Not without something called a Californian high school proficiency exam. So what was a 16-year-old stage school dropout doing in Hollywood?
Getting the lay of the land.
Or getting laid.
Distasteful, but not unknown, and providing it was consensual.
The age of consent in California is 18.
I'd hate to see your browsing history.
Juicy enough to blackmail Ken?
You need to tell the police.
I want to be sure of my facts before I hand it to DCI Naylor to patronise me. Pass the salt.
These are my Dead Sea bath salts.
It's all sodium.
That's why the chips taste of lavender.
Think of it as fine dining.
Next day was the dress, so I left early with a scribbled note from Francis. Back in Margate, I stopped off for a much-needed refuel.
Americano with a shot of steamed milk to take out. You got soya milk?
No.
Okay, make it skinny.
The barking demands identified Larry even before I saw him ahead of me in the coffee queue.
How about rice milk?
No.
Hello, Larry.
Hi. Coconut?
Sorry.
Forget the milk. I'll take it black. What do you want, Charles?
Nothing.
To drink.
Oh, thanks. I'll have a double espresso to take away.
And a double espresso for the schnorrer.
I'd forgotten just how charming Ken's manager and Mr. Fix-It could be.
What about almond milk?
Sorry.
Okay, forget it. Something I won't miss about this country.
The dearth of almond milk.
The can't-do, won't-do attitude.
You should have been here 40 years ago.
With his usual incredulity that anyone would actually choose to walk anywhere, Larry insisted on driving me to the Festival Playhouse.
Look at that. More of Gloria's handiwork.
Larry jerked his head towards another Ken Palitzsi street memorial. Flowers, tea lights, and a laminated photo of the actor 15 years younger. A seafront bus shelter decorated like a Florentine reliquary.
Did Ken use any buses in Margate?
Get out of here. She must have seen him stop to light a cigarette. They're all over town, even that pub you took him to. She wants to put a brass plate on a table. Ken Palitzsi drank here.
The police think she sent me threatening texts when I took over his part in the show.
Could be.
Then I got another text telling me where to find Josie.
Is she the girl you told me about, the one who said she knew Ken in L.A.?
That's right. She was in her car, dead.
You have some gift for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Was she murdered?
The police think suicide.
You don't.
Two of the cast have died within days. They must be linked.
They are linked. You found them both.
I didn't kill them.
But you were the first person on the scene.
How long are you around?
Ask DCI Naylor. I've moved into the Grand while I tidy up Ken's affairs. The minute they release the body, we'll be out of here on the first flight. And it can't come fast enough.
Right, there we go.
Back in my dressing room, I rang Francis's Dutch hipster arborist while my dresser manhandled me.
Oh, hello. I'd like a Nordic non-drop.
Wouldn't we all?
Please, tell me. Not only was I a Christmas tree virgin, it was the first time I'd bought one whilst being laced into a corset.
Are all your trees ethically sourced, organically grown, sustainable, biodynamic eco-pines?
You should get an artificial.
Shh. Size? Yeah, hang on. My wife scribbled it down.
Will you stand still?
Sorry. Well, that's either a 5 or a 6. Let's split the difference and make it 5.5. Ow! Sorry, there's a man trying to crush my ribcage.
You're such a big baby.
You ready, Charlie?
No, he's not!
Terry, see you down there, Danny.
I just had time to slap the tree on plastic while Terry shoehorned me into my finale walk-down costume, a Beyoncé parody complete with false glutes. I tottered into the wings in thigh-length boots while Kitty choreographed the end-of-show walk-down.
Any time this year will do.
Sorry, Danny.
A little better late than ever, dear. Oh, I was so upset about Josie.
Yeah.
If you fancy a drink...
Oh, yeah.
I've got a 19-year-old in my dressing room.
You're a married man.
Single mom. Here we go, baby. Let's do this thing!
Shake your booty, Charles!
I shook my booty. Boy, did I shake it. Danny set a high bar. Some performers force you to be better. Others make you want their approval. Danny was both. Back in trousers, but still in makeup, I bounced up to his dressing room.
It's me, Danny. You decent?
Hello, Charles.
Wigless, Danny peered through a crack in the door, but made no attempt to usher me in. Maybe I hadn't met his high standards.
Well, I've brought the peanuts, but if... We can have a drink another time if you're
tired. No. Come in.
He opened the door just wide enough for me to slip past, only to be confronted by Gloria, a small, snub-barreled gun protruding from her red plastic rain cape.
If it's about the balloon...
It's not about the balloon. Sit down.
Cup of tea, anyone?
Not unless you've got decaffeinated.
Tea?
There's caffeine in tea.
I didn't know that.
I'd rather have a scotch.
Of course you would. Do you know what that stuff does to you?
It's not half as much as a bullet.
Okay, if I'd pour a whiskey for me, my friend.
All right, but slowly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm lost in the woods.
Slow and calm.
And you are good. Always be good.
There you go, Charles.
Watch over me.
Cheers.
I feel sick.
Oh, good.
I get low blood sugar.
Have a peanut.
She might be intolerant.
I'm not intolerant.
She's not intolerant here. How did you get past the stage doorman?
He's another drinker. I watched him. As soon as it's quiet, straight round the pub, same time every day, regular as clockwork.
I'd be having a word, FOH.
It always comes down to drink or drugs. Ken was all right till he came here and met you.
No, hang on.
He cleaned up his act.
How do you know?
Charlie.
I know everything about him.
Well, you know everything his PR agents wanted you to know.
Storm.
If that woman had stayed away, he'd still be here.
Which woman?
His so-called wife. Another greedy gold digger preying on him.
Are you saying Electra killed him?
Might as well have done. It's her fault he fell off the wagon. Booze makes people weak, then they make bad decisions.
Like Panto and Margate.
Oi.
I just meant it wasn't right for an actor like Ken.
He could do anything.
Well, maybe not anything.
Okay, Charlie.
Well, you wouldn't cast him as a Lear.
Let it go.
Sorry.
Ken didn't need to play act. He kept it real. He let you into his life.
Did you shoot him?
Gone, Charles.
I loved Ken.
She loved him.
But if he'd let you down...
He could never let me down. Someone to watch
What about Josie? Did you shoot her?
Gloria's not the shooty type, are you, love?
She wants to shoot me.
I warned you not to take Ken's part.
That's why you sent me those texts.
He isn't.
What?
He isn't playing bad and hard up anymore.
Oh. Can I have some water?
Of course you can, love.
Who's Josie?
She was our swing captain. There you go.
The girl in the green car?
Don't tell me you did kill her.
I didn't kill anyone.
Then how do you know what car she drove?
That night, I saw him get into that car with a young woman. He didn't know I was watching. He could be really friendly, but when he'd had a few drinks...
What did you see?
Ken and the girl arguing. He got out of the car, slammed the door, and she drove away. Ken... took a bottle out of his pocket, but it was empty, so he marched off to the pub. Then you went in and joined him.
Did you stay outside the whole time?
I was worried about him.
I'm not judging. What happened next?
You left and I ate a fish paste sandwich.
I haven't had a fish paste sandwich in years.
Danny.
Sorry.
Then a bit later, Ken came out. He looked awful. He went into an off-licence, bought a bottle of vodka, made a phone call, and then he sat drinking in a bus shelter on the seafront. Then a man in a red hoodie turned up and gave him a small packet.
Drugs?
Doesn't sound like an Ocado delivery.
The man went away, then the green car came back. The girl got out and said something. But Ken walked away, so she followed him down to the beach, shouting.
Shouting what?
I couldn't hear, over the wind and the sea.
What could you see?
Nothing. I was too busy trying not to be seen. Then there was a bang, like a firework.
Josie must have shot Ken.
No.
Well, if you couldn't see, how do you know?
Because he came up to meet the red hoodie man again. Ken looked hyper, jumpy, shouting and swearing and pushing the man around. Then the man slapped him quite hard, and Ken sort of came too. Ken led him down to the beach. Then there was another bang. Then the man came staggering up from the beach with the girl over his shoulder. He bundled her in the green car and drove away.
Did you follow?
I can't drive, and it was the middle of the night, so no taxis around.
But if you didn't see where he went, how did you text me directions?
I didn't. I sent the emojis, but nothing else.
Is Charles with you?
Don't move!
What, are you going to shoot me with a toy gun?
Oh, what?
Toy? Looked real to me.
Put your glasses on.
Oh. 007?
I was up for that.
Bond?
A toy commercial. I got down to the last two.
Mr. Paris?
Hi.
Can I have a quick word in private?
Looks like I owe you an apology.
Me?
People who shoot themselves don't tend to take a second shot.
What?
There was too much mess for us to see, but forensics say Josie had been shot twice.
Twice?
There was a second entry wound next to the first.
DCI Naylor had just lifted a rug and revealed a missing piece of jigsaw I'd been looking for.
Looks like your maths isn't so bad after all.
Will you excuse me? I headed straight for the Grand, where I seemed to have wandered onto the set of Strictly Does Margate till I realised they were hosting an afternoon tea dance in their expansive Edwardian foyer.
Excuse me, dear. Would you care to cha-cha-cha?
Me? Oh, that's... That's very kind, but, sorry, wife. Good timing.
Never again.
What?
You just can't be trusted.
I don't know what you've heard, but whoever she is...
It's not a she, it's an it. A tree. A Nordic non-drop.
The Christmas tree.
I thought even you could make a call and read out what I've written.
I did. While she ranted, the lift doors opened and Larry stepped out.
I got back to find an 18-foot pine leaning against the front of the house.
Larry was wearing a quilted jacket and carrying a small holdall.
I thought it was a gift from the people of Oslo for the part my father played in the war. Then I remembered I trusted you with the task of ordering the bloody thing.
Impatient as ever, Larry checked his watch, drumming his fingers on the counter while the receptionist dealt with another guest.
Feet, Charles. 5 to 6 feet.
It's not my fault your hipster arborist operates in metric.
The receptionist turned to Larry, who handed her his room key and a wad of cash.
Nothing's ever your fault, is it?
Sidestepping an elderly couple doing a very risky body ripple, Larry headed for the door.
I've got to go, Francis. I'll call you later.
Larry?
Hey, you here for the tea dance?
Well, actually, I fancy a scotch. Are you in a hurry?
It was the same bar where I'd met Electra and watched Gloria in the bus shelter opposite, eating a sandwich and staring up at the hotel. The bus shelter was now her uber-kitsch memorial to the late Ken Polizzi.
She held you at gunpoint.
Turned out to be a toy gun. I don't think she'd have had a clue where to get a real one.
Lucky for you. I thought she was harmless.
She's a self-appointed guardian of Ken's memory.
At least I got paid to manage his image.
I remember you telling me Ken required certain things to get him through the day.
Yeah, if I didn't provide them, somebody else would.
Except you didn't say provide. You said procure.
Tomato, tomato.
I'm one of those anally retentive English pedants who notice things like that. You didn't provide or supply or score. You procured.
Whatever. My job was to keep Ken happy.
Sure. But it made me wonder what else you might procure to make him happy.
Just cut to the chase, Charles. Are we talking guns?
I was thinking more women.
I am many things, but I am not a pimp.
But your duties included networking, introductions.
Of course. There were lots of parties and lots of girls. There were also lots of boys and the occasional chihuahua. I didn't fix Ken up with those either.
Did he ask you to pay women off?
Fame brings problems.
So, a girl gets too clingy?
It was a straightforward business expense.
Except there was the added complication that Josie was underage. That's the first time you haven't denied knowing her. Or are you claiming the fifth? Okay, I'll tell you what I think happened. I think Josie rejected your offer and threatened to go to the cops or maybe sell her underage kiss and tell. What was it, photos, video?
Ken could never resist a pretty face and a lens. Josie had the director's cut ready to upload and a vine that would crash the internet.
Whatever a vine was, I had a feeling it wouldn't produce a decent Merlot.
So Ken raised his offer. Josie went home with her L.A. haul and everyone lived happily ever after. Cut to 10 years later, Ken's career's on the slide and he takes a part in Cinderella.
He didn't know what Pando was, but he'd heard about Spacey and McKellen and thought it'd be a good career move.
Re-enter Josie, broke. Then along comes Bank of Ken, who panics and asks you to deal with her.
Not like that. For God's sake, I didn't shoot her.
I know you didn't. Ken did. Then he called you to hide the body. That's it. That's why you shot her a second time in the car, to make it look like she killed herself.
You're wasted here. With an imagination like that, you should be in Hollywood.
Except this, as they say, is based on a true story.
Your story.
You didn't intend to shoot Ken. After all, he was the gravy train. But he was also a chaotic pain in the butt who treated you like a lapdog.
I'm nobody's lapdog.
Electra said that's exactly what you were.
Electra.
15 years of bullying would push anyone over the edge. That's why you shot him on the beach. You'd just had enough.
You were there, were you, Charles? You witnessed this moment of madness?
No, but Gloria was.
Gloria? Crazy, obsessive stalker fan, Gloria.
I think the police will listen to her.
Entertaining as this is, all things must pass, and I got a plane to catch.
The second you leave this bar, I'm going to phone DCI Naylor.
He stood, one hand in his jacket pocket, stretching the fabric in my direction. Another gun.
Well, I'm not glad to see you. Let's go.
I knocked back my scotch and headed for the door. Larry so close I could feel the barrel in my back. My mind was racing. If I ran, he'd shoot, but he was going to shoot me anyway. Then again, at least I'd have a measure of autonomy, but what good's autonomy with a bullet in the back of your head? We were approaching the Jeff Koons in Vegas bus shelter when...
You bastard!
In a flap of plastic raincape, a miniature Wonder Woman sprang at Larry from behind, clinging to his back like a furious child, spinning him around and punching with tiny fists. I grabbed a gilt-framed photo of Ken from the shrine and brought it down on Larry's head. Gloria fell off, and with my second strike, The gun skidded across the promenade, coming to a halt at her feet.
It was you. You were the man in the hoodie.
Put the gun down.
You shot Karen, and now I'm going to shoot you.
Don't, Gloria.
He was loved by millions.
You have no idea what he was like.
He was an artist.
He was an actor who got lucky. That's all he was.
He made people happy.
The man with the Midas touch, except everything he touched, went rotten.
No!
He ruined lives. And I had to clear up his mess. But you want to shoot me? Shoot.
With a third shooting averted, Cinderella finally opened to favourable reviews and full houses. Speaking of full houses, the last thing I wanted for Christmas was a massive party.
Eggnog?
I've still got 90 sausage rolls to bake. Izzy won't stop whining about her adulterous ex, and someone's projectile vomited in my ensuite.
Love the tree, Francis. Never seen one growing in through the window. Gangway, hungry man in need of mini king.
There go my devils on horseback.
Don't you want to save them?
To be honest, I don't give a damn.
Charles, shall I play the piano?
No.
I think I will.
This was a massive mistake, wasn't
it? Hold my glass. I need to make a call.
Call who?
Will someone shut my agent up?
Danny, Charles. Is Charles Hawtrey free tonight?
What?
Hang on. Danny's room's a theme. Charles Hawtrey's occupied, but Charlie Drake's free. En suite, sea view, and a full English to die for. Of course, it's only one bed.
Christmas comes but once a year. Do not follow that up.
As if.
Give me 5 minutes to pack a bag.
Ding dong merrily on high.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you'd
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful,
worry.
What's your hurry?
My father will be pacing.
Listen to the
floor.
Fireplace roar.
So really I better
beautiful,
scurry.
Please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put on some records while I pour.
In episode 4 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Danny was Sean Baker, DCI Naylor Claire Perkins, Kitty Kirsty Oswald, Gloria Elizabeth Bennett, Larry Nick Underwood, and the train passenger Jason Barnett. The Cinderella Killer was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.
It's cold outside.
Oh, you're very pushy, you know.
I like to think of it as opportunistic.